This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
And now, Ed Sullivan.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome
to our show.
Now we're going
to
start and do it right.
It's got to be funky.
So look what I found.
There's plenty for everyone.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike!
Josh Schroeder,
Josh!
And Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob!
It's only the beginning.
And now, here's Mike.
Found another guy that I want to talk to on the show, and my algorithm, my weird, weird, dark, dismal, just oddball algorithm for stuff that comes my way when I'm doing what everybody does now. I believe it's eliminating reading from our world. I think there are people that are still worldly and knowledgeable that probably tear through literature and books, but they're not enough of us anymore because we're all doing that 5 second scrolling. Yep. And in my case today, I think the guy's name might be Andrew or maybe Arnold. I'm not sure. He is a South African gentleman that goes from house to house, and he finds poisonous snakes in South Africa, specifically black mambas.
Is this a business or a hobby?
I believe it's a business where he gets paid to go out and rid people of these deadly venomous snakes. But then
it
he
sounds
also
strangely like the plot of a Three Stooges short.
No.
Where he's at an office and he gets a call.
But oh my God, the way he does it, the way he handles it. I mean, they are at least in the top five of the most venomous snakes in the world. And he goes around and finds these snakes, and sometimes in the most precarious situations. And once he gets done, he takes them out, and everybody's going, ooh, ah, ah. And then he had last night, he went out like to a junkyard where they saw this black mamba sunning itself every single day. And he's got fans online from Germany that come on a vacation to South Africa. Kind of interesting, the Germans going to South Africa, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's an international world we live in, Mike.
I understand. And then, so this couple comes down to, and they want to go on a call with him, and they go out on a call. And he's gotten snakes out of these crawl spaces.
Has his post, are they continuing, or did they just happen to stop recently, suddenly? I'm just curious.
No,
you think he's still with us?
No, I think you're going to see this guy around for a long time, but he is fearless. And based on that, there are two guys that float around. There's a venom guy that works in a very controlled environment, and he's very careful.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time, he is dealing with these massive size black mambas. And then there's this guy that goes out and gets him in the wild. This guy, and I wish I remembered his name, but I don't. So sorry about that. I bet if I went to YouTube right now.
Do you think that to be an effective black mamba fighter, exterminator, you have to have some stupidity?
He's not an exterminator, Rob.
Oh, okay. For black mamba removal.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Jason Arnold.
Jason Arnold.
Okay.
Arnold is not the last name. It's Jason Arnold. Can we see a quick video of Jason when you get it up? He's going to Josh will get that downloaded, of course. The ability for this guy to he uses those little tongs with the long pole with the clip on it, but then immediately takes his hand right down to the head of the snake. You know, that's the business end.
Sure.
And really how he does this is stunning to me. And he's, you know, he's kind of, I don't want to say that he's awkward, but he definitely flirts with disaster because sometimes he's in a very awkward, and you said it's Jason Arnold. That's the name
Arnold.
Of the guy.
Yes.
Okay. I want to see if we can talk to him because it obviously would be a hell of a time difference. But warning, he is a trained professional, so do not do this at home.
How do you get trained for grabbing a snake?
Because you work with people that remove snakes from South African homes, Rob.
I I think that it's a dwindling business, probably.
No, no, no. It's common in other parts of the world.
I'm just intrigued he took fans with him.
How's it, everyone? Good morning.
And he goes on and on. You got to skip like through half of it. Yes. There he is.
You did.
All right. He found it. Now rewind that for just like thirty seconds.
I brought some tools along because I thought that this might happen.
He's at a junkyard.
I'm gonna jump down there, start clearing.
Oh, and it's way overgrown.
I need to just make a clearing on this side and a clearing on that side.
You can skip ahead a little bit here. And then he's all right. Stop right there. And he's just digging around. He's digging around where there is a deadly venomous snake.
And I can just grab all of his tail.
It sounds to me like he's like actually clearing a path to sort of guess where the snake will escape.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Now he's going through.
This could just be a scam to get someone to clean up your yard.
Right.
No, I think he's been asked by the workers at the junkyard to...
I think you're right.
At least he's got a spotter.
Yeah.
That's not a spotter. That's the tourist that came to watch him.
Oh, okay.
Now he's got some big tarp that he's lifting up.
I am not a spotter.
It's nasty down there.
Yeah, it is.
I think we might be on to him, yeah.
Okay.
This is exactly...
And of course, he's getting...
Yeah, I love the accent. One of my favorites.
All right, hold on a second.
And watch. Viva promised a snake. Was this a snake?
He's smart enough on his video to fast forward it to...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the spot here that I'm really interested in.
So he's under a tarp.
He Jason Arnold is the guy's name. By the way, this is one of those examples, Josh, of, I had no idea I was going to do this like 15 seconds before we went on the air. Come on!
I found the video by searching German tourist.
This is his most recent one that popped on my feed over the weekend.
But when you saw this, did you like...
Here we go.
Okay.
We found a mamba.
You did.
Found a mamba. Wow. Found a mamba. We found a mamba. The little baby.
Good job, Jason. Only problem is, any way you can really get out from there is towards me. Because everywhere around him at the back is closed up.
Kitty bean.
Oh, wow.
So you can put a crowbar under that tarp.
Oh, no, it's a little grabber thing, right?
Oh, it is a grabber. Yeah, you're right.
Somebody said, I wonder what his business insurance costs.
I was going to say, I bet those Germans had to sign a release for him.
That's funny. There it is. Look at him. That's
he
lethal.
Doesn't
that
care.
That is a lethal snake he's got. And he reaches right down to the head. Wow. Look at the head. Look at the mouth open.
Ah. Oh.
Yo.
There we go.
That's amazing. How you
all right, that's enough. That's fine. There he is. He gets the mimba. There
that's
we are.
That's terrific. I won't sleep for 3 days.
That's my weird algorithm. You know, last week I was chastised by both you guys for my bare knuckle fighting.
Yeah, I won't call the snake thing a kink. It's just your algorithm.
You.
But I'm
thank
curious,
you.
When you saw that, how fast did you go to his other videos and how long did you stay? With
no, no, I've been watching. He's popped on my, I love, snakes are my thing. I fed Jake this weekend. I like snakes. So
is Jake eating a chicken yet? I know he's getting bigger.
No, but this was, as far as a medium rat, this was the fastest dispatching of a rodent that I have seen Jake accomplish. He was hungry, and I mean, it was bam.
We've had a lot of great years together, Mike, but I still have not forgiven you for having me feed your rat.
That was fun, wasn't it?
No, it was traumatizing and evil, and it was...
Just look, all I'm trying to do and all I've tried to do most of our relationship is toughen you up, and and you know, I didn't mean to traumatize you. I really, really didn't. It was it's the circle of life, as I explained to you, Rob. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the circle of life, the great circle of life. And
just a few minutes after, that poor little mouse at that point scratching inside of the cardboard box with the air holes in the car and you saying, don't let him out. I don't want a mouse in my car. And I'm like,
exactly. Yes.
And you're like, come here, put that box, just put the mouse into the aquarium. And
into
I'm like,
the aquarium.
Oh, and because it was just horrible. No one needs that.
Have you? No, circle of life.
Have you thought about letting Jake loose and making your own snake hunting video?
Sure. Why not? I'll get right on that.
Well,
I'll
you'd have to get him a black mamba mask. so he looks like
right.
one.
I'll do that right away. That's
this particular snake is dangerous that it might pee on you.
Let me get out of that. All right, that's I don't know. My whole algorithm is filled with weirdisms. You know, I mean, but it's why I find interesting.
Do you feel
people.
It? Do you feel it knows you though?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine too.
It knows what I like. Uh-huh. I took a very long flight to from Copenhagen to Greenland. In the middle of the winter. I think it was winter. It's ice mm-hmm. all the time out there. But fascinating little flight that, you know, where you're going to the Arctic Circle, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very, very neat. And
was it a jet or a smaller plane?
It was a big-ass jet. I think a 3x2x3. So it was not a small plane. Mm-hmm. Not a small plane at all. And really just interesting flying into that part of the world.
I actually thought of you yesterday because of your flying phobia, and I think you've gotten better about being a phobic flyer.
Better. Yeah, yeah.
But when we started together, we were both not great at it. And mm-hmm. last night on Turner Classic Movies, they ran, or I had captured the movie The High and the Mighty, which is like the first all-star airplane disaster film.
What was it called? The High? I've never heard of it.
It was out of print for millions of years mm-hmm. because John Wayne's estate wouldn't release it. But the plot is John Wayne is older and he's a co-pilot and no one can understand why he's not a pilot. And it's revealed through a series of flashbacks that he was a pilot but was involved in a plane crash, not his fault, that killed his daughter and his wife, or his son and his wife. So he's got mental issues and they've got the all-star.
Is it a prop plane?
That's what it is, Mike. But they're flying from Hawaii to San Francisco
on that's a long
four-prop
flight.
Plane. Because it's like 1954.
Yeah, my mom and dad went on their honeymoon to Bermuda on a prop plane. An old style. Now, by the way, that's not that far off the coast, but it was kind of cool that they flew on that kind of silver American Airlines prop plane, which was
this is
neat.
You would like this movie because I think it's pretty accurate with the interior of the plane. And you know, there's a lot. Everybody has a story, and this is the movie that begat Zero Hour, which begat Airplane and Airport and Airport 77 and all that stuff. But all
I'm
the elements
enough.
Are in place.
I am old enough to have seen Airport, the original.
The Dean Martin one?
The Dean Martin one, 1975.
Great
and
film.
And I would be, what birthday was it? You do the math. I was
16.
Born in 1959. Was it 16?
Yeah, if you're 75. Really? 1975, did you say?
Maybe it was earlier. I'd have to find out when the original Airport was probably early because I seem to remember I was younger, maybe mm-hmm. 14 or 15. I'm not sure, but all I know is Paul Richards, who
1970.
So
you was 11.
Okay, so 11 would be much more. Yeah, that's what I remember. And when Dean Martin is running down the aisle of the plane after he successfully lands the plane in that disaster movie, Paul Richards, who had just a little bit of a speech impediment, said, "Our hero." Which was as funny.
I bet that lived on in your family for years.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's 11 and he's dropping that line. And kids do that. That, by the way, for those of you that are childless out there, I have to say, that's what kids do. That they'll lay one of those on you, and it come, and especially the younger they are, the more exciting it is when they'll say something crazy, because it's just they fire it right out there. Now, I want to transition here because my son, this was no pushing whatsoever. I really have to reiterate that. If I push,
he fell off the cliff on his own.
Sports are what I probably would be a stage dad, and but I don't even push with that. It's like what he likes to do, and I like the fact that he's into it, and that's cool. I like that he plays golf, but I'm not pushing him. I think he's going to be on his golf team, but that's how much I push.
When do we find out? He tried out like over a week ago, didn't he?
I don't know. They got rained out. The tryouts got rained out, so I'm not sure what the
Florida.
I'm not sure what the deal is. So he is taking a course called Cougar Vision, which is their mascot, and it is a
their TV mascot is the cougar.
Is the cougar?
Older woman.
It's a woman in about 50,
and she likes the students. I know
she
that.
She likes the seniors.
I love that. Should come up to the office.
Florida schools have two mascots. It's either something from the water or a cat.
Yep. Or a cat. Okay. All of them. All of them. And, you know, a lot of the schools have a TV production class.
Yeah.
And he's been in this, I think he's in his second year, and they tapped him at as a seventh grader to be the play-by-play broadcaster for varsity football. And so Friday night, I turned on the internet broadcast and watched my son do play-by-play for the very first time of a football game. He's done a lacrosse game. I don't know anything about lacrosse, but I was just blown away that that he did such a good job. So I don't know why you are, but
lacrosse is a harder sport to call, I would imagine, because I've done some PA for lacrosse, and it's constant action. I mean, there's no stop now. If you have a decent spotter, football is almost mathematical with what you announce.
I don't think he has a spotter, and
then it's tough.
Well, they were doing a lot of Brock's got the ball, Brock, and I'm like, you got to give the full names,
right?
You got to memorize the players, especially, you know, you can do it in order of the guys that get most of the touches,
right?
You know, at first, but at a certain point, you want to identify the names, and it was Michael, his buddy Evan, who's also a seventh grader, and then the young lady. Oh, I wish I remember her name. She's a senior. She's a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about my kids,
and she likes sports.
They go through.
What is she studying? I mean, she really should be in the secretarial pool by the time she's a senior.
They go through all the. That's Rob. Send the letters to Rob Spiewak.
Hi, please. Ladies. Good morning.
BC Travis says this is completely a non sequitur here.
Okay.
I heard a story from a woman who cleaned hotel rooms in Vegas, and she cleaned Dean Martin's room. She said there were only tuxedos, pajamas, and pills.
That's nice.
Thanks for sharing. Not relevant to this discussion, but it's interesting.
The best Dean Martin moment in Airport is at the end when he realizes he's going to stay with the woman he knocked up. And he says, let's go on back to my place and get some eggs.
And by the way, Reese says, is it me or does it look like Mike has new teeth? That's what I was at the dentist last week. I got new bonding right here.
Oh, nice.
So that's my new bonding on these two.
Nice and tight.
A little more even and a little brighter. There you go. How do you like him? Anyway, the thing about the broadcast was I couldn't believe that he was the one that was doing what I wanted to happen, which is when you're watching any kind of broadcast, you want to have the you want to have the names, the time that's left, because they do a one shot of the field, and the one shot of the field is just completely. They don't show you the running time. They don't show replays, and they don't show the scoreboard.
Does he know Sam Huff's trick?
What's that?
Okay, now this is actually very, very smart. Sam, in the Redskins travel kit, there was an egg timer. And on the egg timer was a piece of tape that said Sam, because it was Sam's egg timer. It was a two-minute timer. And one of Sam's jobs in the booth, Sam Huff, who was a Hall of Famer and did play-by-play for the Redskins back then, he would turn the egg timer, and when it ran out, he would give how much time was left and the score. That way, they'd never go more than 2 minutes without doing that reset for the people listening.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, especially when you're doing radio, you want to make sure that people know exactly what's going on. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, I mean, when you
but don't use like an hourglass. You want something that's 2 minutes.
You want it 2 minutes. You do not want to do it the other way. But I was proud of him.
And, you should be. That's so awesome.
I mean, do I want him to get into this business? Not in any way, shape, or form. I don't like the business of show, and that's kind of a version of it. But, I mean, it's certainly an honorable profession to be
football hasn't been purchased. It hasn't been purchased by iHeartRadio yet. It's still a business.
No, yeah, there's still plenty of money in it.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Did you have some post-game notes for him?
Yeah, I did. I did. The notes were full names. The notes were constant re-mentioning of the amount of time that's left in the game because we can't see the running time. Now, I don't teach the course. I wish, obviously, that it was a closer telecast to a real broadcast, but they've got one camera that goes back and forth.
Is it still being taught by Jim Nance?
No, I forgot the name of the guy. He's a cool guy. He's a nice guy that does this. But at one point, one of the players on Michael's home team got injured, and they were talking about it and doing a pretty good job of the analysis, and the camera panned over. I said, oh, we're going to see the kid and see how he's doing, if he's recovering. Mm-hmm. And they showed a picture of the cheerleaders, which was not what I wanted to see.
It's probably let's not show an injury on the
I don't think they're that sophisticated.
What I would have done.
Because eventually they did pan over to the kid who was laid out, and then the kid came back into the game, which
Mike,
was very
sure,
cool.
I'm sure their director's 15 or 16. All he wants to do is film the cheerleaders.
You know, it's interesting because we have a guy in the chat group that's from Norway. Good afternoon, boys, from Norway. And I was watching that flight from Copenhagen to Greenland, and they had Norwegian Airlines on on the ground there. So Norway, how do you do? I'd love to go to that part of the world.
What is the reputation of Norwegian Air? Seems like those European-based flight companies, they do it best.
Well, they do everything best.
Yeah.
Well, they do their countries best.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a better quality of life than we do in the United States now, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how their leadership is, but I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Did they have a little F1 race? I don't think so.
By the way, another full week, the streets are shut down for cleanup. Attaboy, Washington, D.C., with your stupid Freedom 250. Just shut the whole city down.
Tell us about it.
Did, I
did you go? Did
yeah,
you go?
I came in third, Mike.
What did you see on your local news about it?
You know, it was on Fox, had the actual broadcast, but all I see today in the recap is the cleanup. They announced the winner, but they didn't have a lot of clips, but they're talking about the cleanup.
They didn't have a lot of clips that you saw.
Yeah.
Well, no, yes. I mean, I watched...
You didn't look for it.
Because you turned on the morning local news, which is all about traffic and weather.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to be cleaning
up. That's what he watches. Then he watches Turner Classic Movies. Do you turn off or do you mute the sports when it comes on? Is that when you...
Yes,
do you
Mike.
Watch, like, the evening news or local evening news ever?
Sometimes,
but not a lot, right?
No.
Okay.
Too
busy doing what?
Making me a better person.
I have to dive right into this.
What's that?
Because I know, based on what you said to me at the beginning of the show, that you are busy now. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to mention that the captain of original ideas, the man that thinks out of the box, no, he doesn't. He copies other people. Rob Spiewak is now Uber driving like Josh is.
Now, you see, Josh, when he said it, he said, this is something Rob would love. And
yeah,
that got
you meet
me thinking,
other people and I'm thinking, you get out of the house.
There's no way I'm going to like this. This is horrible. I mean, strangers and all the things. And so yesterday afternoon, I hopped in my car at 3:00 and the app is pretty easy.
Can we start with the process of what it entails?
Sure.
Because I don't know anything about that. In fact, I don't think we asked Josh about that either. What you have to do, you fill out a form.
Yeah, it's...
How extensive is the vetting process?
There is some vetting and some paperwork, but I was surprised how little there was. You give them proof of insurance. You give them proof of ownership of the car. You send them your license plate, a photograph of your driver's license, and you
and
fill
a blood
out,
test.
And a blood test, but they need a quart.
Hold on. Really, a blood test?
No. Blood test.
I don't know. No. I mean, do they check your driving record?
They do.
They do a background check.
Yeah. And they checked for me because I said I will likely drive in Maryland.
I'm not getting into this Uber because this driver has syphilis.
That's what my license plate says. SYPHLLS. But the... They send all that stuff. They did a background check for me in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, so I can drive in all three cities. And then they make sure your car has a safety inspection. As a matter of fact,
states, you mean?
Yes, I did mean states, Mike.
Okay, just checking.
I did have to hold off a little bit on doing it because there was a recall.
Where do you drive? I drive in the city of Maryland.
It's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city.
Go ahead.
I had a safety recall on my car that was the driver's airbag, which is pretty not a big deal, but until they repaired that recall, they wouldn't give it me my license.
Gary, so. We're ready to go.
If only. But so we're all set. I got a tank of gas, and I made sure all my fluids and everything were great, and I'm off. And I get to pick up my first, and they're pretty, they actually turn everything around pretty fast. There's like a little online class on safety and all that stuff that you just click agree. And I got out there and
did
I started.
Pay a lot of attention to it?
Mike, my life is based on safety. I mean, right
down.
You
just kind of poo-pooed it the way you were talking about it.
Well, you think I
did the same thing. You just
really?
Get past it.
Yeah, I mean, you're driving. I mean, I've been doing it for a few years. I can get by. I know all about the city of Maryland. I know everything. So
I'd
go
like
in.
To go from, I'd like to go from Leesburg to Sterling, Virginia, please.
All right, that'll be about an hour and 45 minutes.
It's not that way.
We made jokes for years, Josh, about Rob's speed of driving, right. Which really I've ridden with Rob in the last couple of years, and it's not that slow. It's really not.
Thank you. I pick up my first fare, I guess that's what you call it, my first client, I don't know. And he was it took a little while to get it, and then I start thinking, and Josh, I didn't bother you, but I'm thinking, is it smartest to just stay where you are and wait for a possible, they call it a match, to pop up for your driving? Or should you drive around a little bit because your matches are based geographically of where you are? So what do you do when you do it?
I've done both. So I will pick someone up first thing, and then I will try. Well, I try to do it in busy times, like at night. So then it ends up sending me a match before I even drop one off.
Oh, that's great.
So every now and then, though,
BC's rolling today. He said, did they remind you, Rob, not to roll the car over?
They said, I will not roll the car over, and I clicked, I agree.
Right. Not with passengers.
Not with passengers.
So do you get more fares if you drive around?
Well, I think it opens it up, because if you stay in one neighborhood.
I'm not asking if you think, do they?
Well, it depends where you're at. If he's trying to pick people up from Costco, there's not as many people that need an Uber out of Costco, but if you go over near Dulles, lots of people need
Ubers. See, that's my plan this afternoon, is to go into the one of the waiting lots at Dulles. Because
where did you go yesterday?
Well, the first one took me from Leesburg across 15. I believe the neighborhood is called Edwards Ferry. And I got in with this guy, and he comes in, and it says he's in here. I think his name was, like, Eric or something. And he said, Eric, you've picked up Eric. I said, great. And it says, start Uber X. I said, this is so cool, because it gave me a map to get to him. And now he's in. It knows he's in there. Because
are you an Uber X?
I am an Uber X.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
Because my car is it's considered a large passenger vehicle, and it is spotless.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
It looks, you'd be shocked for the age of my car how good it looks.
Well,
it
really, I mean, but I didn't know it was, I thought like you had to have a big SUV. No, you don't. No,
that's something
it's just
else.
You have to have a regular size sedan, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I get it.
With, and you know what? I've got excellent trunk space, which actually helped me out later on the day.
Help me. Help me,
that's right. I said to the guy, I said, I'm here. Yes. Are you looking for the Uber? He said, yes. I said, get in the trunk. But I keep hitting this start Uber X, start Uber X, start Uber X, and it doesn't start. And I said, okay.
You mean the button you have to swipe?
Can I just
don't read
the chat
ahead,
group,
Josh?
It's got a little icon.
Before the chat group starts, can I just say 136?
Yeah, exactly right, Mike. And so I hit the button, hit the button, hit the button, nothing. And now I've driven like about a quarter mile outside of his neighborhood. I'm getting close to a major artery, and
this
I
is your very first fare.
First fare,
and you don't know where you're. You don't know where
and
you're
I said,
taking him.
And I
you're
turned
not
to
charging
the,
him currently.
I said, no, it just says pause. And I said, so where are you headed? And he said, I think it was the Leesburg or Ashburn Town Center. I said, well, I know where that is. I'll just take you there, because I can't figure this out.
But that means you're not going to get paid.
Exactly. So I drove him there.
How dumb are you? My God, really? You're doing it for free?
I would also be creeped out as the passenger, to be like, it's not registering on my Uber app. Where's this guy taking me?
I got him there in no time at all.
That doesn't matter. You're supposed to do the whole point of it.
And I had to cancel it. I was out $8.90. That will hurt always.
Rob,
Go ahead,
start
Josh.
Uber X button. It's this long black button with two arrows on the end.
Yeah. It is a slide function, it turns out. Not a put the button. You just slide it. And once I figured that out, I was off to the races. So I did screw up my first fare, and I will always know that. But they got better after that. Met a guy who was shooting video for Amazon, and he was had to go from he went from Leesburg into Arlington, then picked up an Arlington fare.
What do you mean he was shooting video for Amazon?
They like a promotional commercial that Amazon was doing about the restoration of the Potomac River. So he had to leave his Arlington home and come out to Loudoun County.
Did he have a whole bunch of equipment?
He did, and okay. He says, "Do you have room for all this?" I said, "Look at this trunk." And he said, "That's a big trunk."
You didn't say that.
I did. I
said, "Look at this trunk."
I said, "Look at this trunk." And really? Then he said, "This is great. Do you want a brownie?" I said, "No, thanks." I didn't know what that indicated.
Oh, a pot brownie. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. But I do have, and then the app went a little wonky when I was in the district. So what bothered me.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
It said.
What does that mean, oh, technical guru? What does that mean?
It said you can't go online. It said, and you can't go online, call your, call the service or call the help.
I wonder if DC has like a different restrictions for Uber drivers or something.
So I had a nice 15-minute call with Uber and they reset my account and it should be okay. But the problem with that is by the time it's 15 minutes, I'm out of DC. I was hoping to pick up a DC fare back out towards where I live so you make money for the drive back, but I missed out on that. So my total, well, I'll give you the total in a second. I do have some thoughts. If you are Ubering, and then really this is for anybody, please make it easier to see the numbers of your address on your house. Just little reflective numbers on your mailbox isn't good enough. I want to see numbers on the house that I can
agree
see.
With that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's good. You know what? What if a fireman had to come to your house to put out a fire?
You have a computer program that would, you know, take you to the driveway.
No, not if you go into a neighborhood that's got like a courtyard with six houses all in a row. You don't know which one it is.
And I'll tell you my tip.
What's that?
I go to where the line ends on the little Uber map.
Right.
And then I put on my flashers.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then that way they just know when they come out. They see the car with the flashers, check the license plate, and come in.
I like
How many total fares have you had, Mr. Soroka?
Oh, I've probably done it 5 or 6 nights.
Okay, and total fares, roughly, give me a rough estimate of how many rides you've, how many fares you've had.
Oh, that's, I might be up to 50, 60 right now.
Okay, all right.
And you bonus if you hit a certain number, don't you?
Yeah, certain weird. Times.
Yeah.
And the things. Good news is with the pay structure of Uber now, you've made $11.57.
No, I am averaging leaving my home to returning my home $25 to $30 an hour every night.
It's funny that we would match up. I was out for a little more than 4 hours and $103. Yeah. Including
that's worth,
a tip.
That's worth getting in the car.
100%. But here's another helpful tip for you Uberians out there. I'm really excited that you live in the high-rise apartment in Arlington and you've got all your fancy clothes on and you're going to a very exclusive restaurant on T Street downtown. That doesn't mean you need to use 1/3 of a bottle of cologne. Don't do it. I mean, I was up to a point where I was almost cracking the window when this guy sat in my car. Don't overdo your cologne and improve your numbers. And also, I think there
is it better than the alternative?
I had the alternative.
Oh, that is.
Oh, no, you had the alternative?
Yes.
B.O.?
Yes. Well, not on an Uber driver. This weekend, I went to the movies and had the alternative so bad that I considered leaving before the movie started.
The guy sitting next to you in the theater?
The entire family next to me. I couldn't figure out which family member it was.
Was it B.O. or Poo?
It was B.O.
Oh, God!
Is there anything sadder when you see a whole family and you know they are unclean? Because I've seen it before.
You try to figure, well, it's one of those where you think, well, they can't be smelling this. They've just been used to this and accepted it in their life.
So nasty.
And also another thing I noticed, I had one couple that was in the car. And do people think that because I'm just up there driving, I can't hear you yelling at each other? Do they think there's like some sort of magical partition between us? Because they were really going at
it. No, you're invisible, though.
Yeah, you're invisible.
You're the help. Rob, you're the help.
So, okay. But here's what
you are.
No. And this is why you just take notes. You drop them off and you put notes into your phone.
Yeah, and this is material. This is material for this show.
The conversation went a little something like this. I don't want you drinking too much tonight. And then he says, well, I'm trying to cut down. And she says, well, what have you done? He says, well, tonight I'll flip a coin. And if it's heads, I'll drink red. And if it's tails, I'll drink white. She says, that's not funny. You're drinking too much. He says, you're complaining too much.
You know what? I disagree that you're invisible. I think that's just stupid people. Yeah.
That could be.
You know? Did you ever think of interjecting and saying, I'll tell you about drinking?
I say, you want to know about drinking? Listen to me. I nearly killed myself. But yeah.
Probably not appropriate.
Ruined their night.
I'm drunk right now.
I'm trying to think how I would handle it. I know how Josh handles it. You're silent the whole time. Do you find it difficult being silent, Rob, because you're a talker?
If they engage me with talking, I replied. I didn't you know, spark anything. I might, as they sit down, I'll say, it's a beautiful day. Are we all set? And then if they take it from there, I'll keep going. Like the guy that
What do you mean? That's like your opening?
That's it. I mean,
yeah. What do you say?
I said, you know, it's a beautiful day today. And then that's as they're getting in the car.
Well, you don't like start it like an intro, right? You just say, they hop in and said, hello, beautiful day today. Yeah. Let's go.
He sings the opening to Mr. Rogers.
No,
it's a beautiful day today. Let's go, Rob Airlines.
I say, you know, are we all set? And if they say yes, we're off like a shot. Now, some people are ready to talk. They really are. Yeah. Some are dead silent. I learned a lot about a lady's cat. The guy that did the work for Amazon knew a lot about Adobe Auditions. We actually talked sound editing.
Let me ask this question of both of you. Give me the negatives first and then the positives. What are the negatives about it?
It's a job.
Yeah, and I would say that waiting for your next fare, if it doesn't come right up, you feel like it's pointless.
Yeah,
because you're either in a parking lot or you're driving around and you're just waiting.
So there's a boredom factor there.
But right? Also, I did a little research last night. Today, I'm going to go to Dulles and stay in the region of Dulles Airport because that's where you grab your bigger fares, and it's like that's like a central gathering point for people that need Ubers.
No, it makes
really?
Sense. I've not tried the airport.
Really?
Yet.
How did you figure that one out?
I was thinking, actually, Mike, talking about the amount that they pay is what I was looking at.
But it sounded like that's what you, yeah, but yeah. It's the same thing, dummy. That's it. That's the same. Of course, you go to the airport where you're going to get the most fares that go the furthest distance. How long did you have to stew on that?
Oh,
to come up with that one?
Days. I had to go to the state of Washington, D.C., I had to go to the city of Virginia.
It's funny when you say something like that. It's funny. Would you do as far as originating at BWI, which is a good hour and 10, 20 minutes from
your
house?
If I got called, and it's, you know, BWI is actually a little closer because I go up 70.
Oh, and they have the connector now, right?
Yep.
Don't they?
The connector. Yes.
All right. Don't they have a connector to BWI?
I would absolutely do BWI. I even look into flying out of BWI. It's not that out of the way.
My longest drive so far was 45 minutes to take someone.
And that's like you see dollar signs when that happens, right?
You do. Yeah. You get a little concerned with time and stuff, and am I going to get find enough rides back?
The ride back is the thing. Now, I did get, by the time that I got the app up and running, I got several offers, and I grabbed two more on the way back from Arlington.
Okay, if you get two people, it's the same thing. Do you get double the money if you have two strangers?
Pick one up, drop them off. Pick another up, drop them off.
Okay.
Not at the same time.
All right.
Okay. The couple is the only one. They were the only ones that tipped me yesterday. So maybe they do that because it's two of them.
And some of my... Yeah, my tips
they tip
have shown
you in the
up.
App, right? They tip you in the app.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my tips have shown up like 2 days later.
Okay. All right.
When they realize, a whole lot of tips. They say, hey, you know what? The other day, our Uber driver, he was really great.
No, it's the next time they open up the app, it says, hey, would you like to tip from your last trip?
Mike, all right. So those are the, it's a job. I think you summed it up, Josh, with that. Best part of it.
Well, clearly for me, it was... during the downtime, although I said that was a bad thing, is driving around listening to the radio and doing stuff. I haven't had, you know, time in a car to just like drive around and listen to the radio in a long time. It was great. I mean, you're driving, you don't, and also there's a beauty that when you're dropping someone off and you're headed somewhere, you're going to do it in as timely a fashion as possible, but it's not my deadline. You know, I don't have to stare at the clock and say, oh my God, it's 2 minutes after five. I'm doing the best I can and I don't have any penalty. So it's really low stress as far as doing it. And Josh, did you have anything that you
thought? Your driver is 2 miles away. He will be there in 1 hour and 37 minutes.
And he will be bringing brownies.
It is. No, the good parts are you make your own schedule. So you just go out whenever you want.
But just remember, if you want to get more fares and you want to get a place where people are going to use Uber, you might want to try an airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I got.
Or another good place is you can just go and park in Mike's asshole.
Right. Rob's upset. It is pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, you know, I going into this wide-eyed, dewy-eyed, I wanted to know
would
what
you
was
do it,
smart.
Would you do it again?
Mike, I am prepared to say I loved it.
I will be
doing it again today.
Okay. All right.
And well, Josh brings up another.
You said it's a job, but so it is kind of fun.
Yeah, but I mean, a job can be fun.
The good parts are it's fun to meet all these random people.
Yeah.
You get some people that don't want to talk, some people that are a little shady. But
see, let's stop you right there because that, and I know we're running late here.
Shady's not the right word. Well, but here's
sus. I talk about Mr. Badass. I like to watch fighting and snakes and all that. But really, you know what creeps into my mind? And I wonder if it crept into your mind. The fear factor gets me a little bit. Like that there'd be somebody sketchy that would be, I guess if you do it during the day, you're okay.
Well, I mean, during the day is fine. And also, if you have an Uber account, you have also been slightly vetted. So after I'm stabbed, they can find you.
Yeah. And it tells you on the way to go pick up the person, like what their Uber score is and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the stats on that, though? I don't think Uber drivers get, there's no cash involved. So there's no theft that can happen.
No,
right?
You would just have to make your rider so mad that he stabs you.
Well, I would think there isn't. There can't be much because
are there any rules about pack and heat? Like if you have a concealed carry permit,
I'm sure it's probably
by state.
Because
I'm down in Florida, I could probably bring an AK-47 into the car with me.
But it doesn't fit in the glove box. You need something smaller, like my little gun that's also a lighter, something tiny.
Well, in Florida, it's just got to fit in the gun rack.
That's right, up front, yeah. I did not encounter anyone that gave me even pause yesterday. I thought that everyone seemed fine.
Yeah, and by shady, I just mean they had their headphones on before they get in the car.
Okay.
They want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
All right.
But then you meet other people where they want to talk, and it's neat to get to know people.
I wish one of the guys that wanted to talk said, you know, you slide that button. You don't hit it. I wish he had told me that. It would have saved me $9.
Rob, I'll tell you my tip is I put the radio on and then I put an AirPod in my ear so I can listen to whatever I want to. And then I can just have generic music playing for the passengers.
So I'll
listen to like an audio book or a podcast.
I kept music on, but lightly through the whole time.
So. Doug says airport to start is good if it's not busy. Best way to get airport rides is to drop off at the airport first.
That makes sense.
That just means you get paid to go to on your way to the airport.
But that's awfully specific, waiting out for that fare. It's weird, right, Mike. It's so, when Josh talks about being on your own schedule, just think of it. You sit down, you're in your car, like just nothing's different. You have your phone and you hit that Uber button and wait for someone who needs a ride. It's kind of nuts.
And it's peaceful, right? And kind of a peaceful way to make a living.
I got back home, I mean, other than an insane urge to pee, I felt great.
I think that, you know, you both have said it ends up being roughly on a good night, what, $25 an hour?
$25 to $30, yeah.
Mm-hmm. $25 to $30 an hour, which is better than like working in a warehouse or something like that. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You get queued up to the top of the line to get an airport ride out of the ride if you drop someone off there. If you sit at the airport waiting, you're at the bottom. I get that. That would
There could be. You could pull up to the airport and there'd be 20 other Uber drivers.
But you're close enough to the airport, Rob, where that really wouldn't be
a big deal.
Start for you, right?
18, 20 minutes to the airport.
Okay.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. I could probably pick up a fare on the way.
Let me see. BC Travis says, can you pick me up from Jimmy's at about 1:50 a.m.?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Well, Rob, you will start to get, after a couple of days, you'll start to get notices in your app where people want to line you up to with someone's schedule. So tomorrow at 6 a.m., pick up this guy or whatever.
Oh, okay. Is that because they're requesting a certain driver or just requesting a certain time?
Certain time. Okay. I did look into, can you request certain drivers?
If you have a big ass, like really nice, excuse me, SUV,
mm-hmm.
does that get you more or better fares? Like if you have a better car.
You'll pay more. I know that.
Yeah. So you'd probably get paid more for driving something that can hold.
Well, you said Rob said you pay more. You pay more for what?
Well, if you put in Uber Black, which is what a big SUV would be.
Oh yeah, the rate
is higher. Yeah, so I think it would trickle down. Everybody would get more money that way.
I would assume so.
But I mean, I wonder if you would get more fares that way if you had a fancier.
Well, I don't think most people can see the car until after they agree to be your passenger.
Yeah, I think Uber X is pretty much
no, but they can put in Uber Black.
Right.
They can.
You can put, I've done that where mm-hmm. I put in Uber Black because I want a nice big SUV, you know, to do that.
But I think Uber X is pretty much the standard now.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I love this. This was a good discussion. That's good. And remember, be nice to your driver and don't wear too much cologne. And if you go to the movies and Josh is there, for God's sake, work on the pits before you get there. You know,
come on. It might not have been the family. Maybe they got popcorn and put a lot of cumin on it.
Ew. All right, we'll take a break and come back right after this with Tidbits Ad Brand.
Oh, Tidbits, yay.
Thanks. If you love the show and you want an incredibly easy way to support us without spending an extra dime, we got you covered. Before you do your Amazon shopping, and let's be honest, who isn't buying something on Amazon? Start through our Amazon link. That's it. Same prices, same Prime, same late-night impulse purchases. The only difference? Amazon kicks a little something back to help support this podcast. Anything you require, from the mundane to the super sexy. We're not judging. Just click our Amazon link first and shop like you normally do. You'll find the link right on our website, tmospodcast.com. You can also access it with our brand new app right from your telephone. Ring-a-ding-ding. It takes 2 seconds, costs you absolutely nothing extra, and genuinely helps keep the show rolling. So before you Amazon, think of us. Click the link. Shop away. And thank you for keeping the microphones on. Next time you Amazon, start at tmospodcast.com or with the new TMOS app. Shop, support, repeat. And we thank you. Thank you very much, Mike O'Mara. Appreciate that.
Now he's a good voice guy, that Mike O'Mara. He
really, really good guy. He's quite a pitchman. By the way, I always hated that. What pitchman? A pitchman. Yeah, what a pitchman he is. Yeah. That's like so sleazy.
Would you rather be a pitchman or a mimic?
I'd rather be a pitchman. Mimic's the all-time worst. That was Gordon Liddy. He's quite a mimic.
And do you think he was diminishing him? I think it's just him being an old man when he called you.
It's totally being an old man. Yes, not diminishing at all. He loved it. He loved the fact that I did an impression of him. You know?
That's true. That is true. But you are a cunning mimic.
A cunning mimic. Thank you. Yeah. Mike O'Mara does me better than I do me. A very nice compliment. I appreciated that, Gordon. The Fed is about to get very interesting. Fed Chair Kevin Warsh is headed to Washington, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, rather. He's headed there this week as investors watch for clues about interest rates and inflation. The big question is whether the Fed will be comfortable cutting rates in September or whether persistent inflation will keep them on hold. Markets are already nervous, and the president continues to push for lower rates.
I like that they're looking for clues. I have a vision of them with, like, magnifying glasses. Have you found a clue?
What's happening? What's happening?
Zoink, Scoob, I found a clue.
Trump and Canada are still having a very expensive argument. Trade tensions between the U.S. and Canada are heating up again with new tariffs. God, and retaliatory measures being discussed. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. Mark Carney!
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Carney!
He has described the relationship in extremely hostile terms.
Do you know what's going to skyrocket? It doesn't affect me now, but would have some months ago, is Crown Royal is going to go through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's Canadian booze.
It is. It is. It's the best thing Canada ever did while they were planning to attack us.
I like it better than Labatt's. I really do. Halle Berry. This is hard to believe for a Halle Berry fan like me. She just turned 60.
What? No, no, Halle.
Apparently, she has decided that 60 is the new 40. Barry shared photos from her birthday celebration. She still looks absolutely amazing.
But 40 is the new 70. I was told there'd be no math.
40 is the new 70, and 60 is the new 200.
Oh, my, congratulations.
Halle Berry shared photos from her birthday celebration in Los Cabos with a fiancé. She seems to have a new fiancé every month, doesn't mm-hmm. she? Yeah. Her fiancé, I love one-syllable names, Van Hunt. Mike's brother.
What's I was going to say, Van Hunt. You think she calls him Van?
Hey, Van. Van Hunt.
Or maybe, Mike, maybe it's Von.
Von Hunt.
Von Hunt.
Or if you are in Germany, Von Hunt.
Yeah, Von Hunt was actually watching that guy get the snake.
Von Hunt.
Hello, Von Hunt.
Who's your Uber fare? My name is Nicholas Van Hunt.
I need to drive to Argentina.
let's see. They had dancing, boating, wine, and a very romantic private dinner. Sounds like it came from a publicist. She described the whole thing as simply magical.
Yeah. Very, he's got that magical. Von Hunt magic.
Kelly Ripa is coming back to television. I don't watch
she
this
left?
Show anymore. I wouldn't watch it if I had the free time to watch it, and I don't have the free time to watch it. But she's coming back to TV. She's been gone a while after a very unusual absence. Ripa is set to return to Live with Kelly and Mark on September 8th after recovering from a gum graft procedure. Ooh, that sounds nasty.
I've had that. That's nothing to it.
You've had gum grafts?
Yeah, they take a hunk of the top of your mouth and they graft it to the front of your gums. It's for gum recession. She should be flossing.
So where do they get the
from the top of your mouth, like the roof of your mouth. They cut out a little hunk.
And it grows back, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds excruciating.
It was nothing to it.
The surgery was so painful, according
to
this story.
How painful was it?
That she had a 10-day period where she wasn't supposed to speak.
Must be nice.
But you're saying it's the opposite.
Well, I mean, unless they had to do like a massive graft, I had two hunks replaced because I went a long time without going to the dentist and he needed to do the surgery.
And you didn't floss.
And I never floss. I do now, every day. And my gingiva is stunning. But back then it was bad, and he did two grafts, and it was, as I recall, he did it on a Friday, and like by Saturday, most things were normal, and I could talk my head off.
So painful. She had a 10-day period where she wasn't supposed to speak. She had actually put off the procedure for 5 years. Sounds like maybe a little more elaborate
than
yours. What
if when she shows up in September, she's got a huge chest? And she said, I don't know what happened to these. I just had gum graft surgery.
Oh, she, no, that's sexy. I don't care. I'm 67 years old. Do I get a free bath? That would be, I would say, for Kelly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sad to see that.
Yeah, but I thought she'd fall down a lot. She's so thin.
Thanks for sharing, Rob.
Just a thought.
The baseball world has a new billion-dollar owner story. MLB has approved the $3.9 billion sale of the San Diego Padres.
Well, Mike, what's the most legendary franchise in all of sports? The Padres.
Wow. It went to an investor group led by Jose Feliciano.
That's great.
No, it's Jose E. Feliciano.
You see, Jose
Chico,
Feliciano.
Don't be discouraged.
He doesn't watch a lot of baseball.
Rob's referring to back in the day, Josh, a million years ago, on an old show that was also on a million years ago called The Mike Douglas Show. It was an afternoon talk show, and Mike Douglas had Jose Feliciano, a blind guitar player, on his show, and he asked this question verbatim, do you watch much television? And immediately he went, oh. And he said, no. And then Jose saved it by saying, no, I actually do. Yeah. I sit down and I listen to television. Sure. And, that's why they have the stuff where they explain what's going on. Sometimes you get the audio track. Ladies and gentlemen, Power 105 WABA. Listen, I hope you're going to have a fabulous Christmas with the holiday coming up just around the corner. Here's Jose to sing for you.
Feliz Navidad.
Thank you. Now, with the delay, I always forget whether I have to be earlier or later to
you were perfect that time.
But what do I have to be, earlier or later?
You have to be later.
Later.
Half a beat, yeah.
Oh, so this, see, I tried earlier. Let's try it again.
Okay, Josh, am I incorrect? Because it takes a second to get there, right?
Let me ask this question. Was I tight on that one?
Rock hard. It was absolutely right.
I went earlier. Okay, let's try it again. Merry Christmas from everyone at WDRC in Hartford, where your friends are. I hope Christmas is everything you want it to be. I'll be driving in an Uber and smelling BO. Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all perfect.
Right. Let's see, Jose.
And remember, the WDRC PD said, start every break with Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas from WDRC.
Where your friends are.
So the investor group is led by Jose E. Feliciano and Kwanzaa Jones. It's a record valuation for an MLB team. The new owners are expected to take over with the current baseball operations staff in place. They always say that.
Yeah, because it's midseason. It's interesting that more than half the teams now are owned by these private equity investor groups.
Yeah, it's everything. And they own down here. Somebody told me they're buying all the HVAC companies down here. Let's see.
Now, if the Padres could bring essentially $4 billion.
Right.
What would a franchise that is legendary be worth, do you suppose?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
you're getting into air that I don't know how you make that back. You just have that money and you want to be a sports team owner, I think. I don't know.
Of all the baseball, I think the Yankees would be the most valuable franchise.
Yankees or the Dodgers.
And then your Red Sox would have to be way up there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Dodgers were only sold for $2 billion. But that was a few years ago.
Yeah, so who knows what it would be now.
Now it's probably $4 or $5, $6
I should have bought them a year ago and got them for $1 billion. It's just I didn't have the money at the time. I wasn't liquid.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is.
Speaking of baseball, the Cubs beat the Mariners. The reason I mention that, they beat Seattle 19-2. Including a 9-run eighth inning. That's sad when you're on the receiving end of that.
That's sad, right?
Ian Happ and Pedro Ramirez both hit grand slams, turning what was already a blowout into a full-scale baseball crime scene.
An inning. One inning with two grand slams?
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be great, especially for the people that went home in the seventh.
I've been to games like that.
Yeah, it's not fun. When you're on the receiving end of that, forget it.
Yeah.
You want to die.
30-3 loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you were there for a 30-3 loss.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you know,
because it turns at a point where it's like, well, now I just want to see how bad this can get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, oh man. All right. Finally, today is International Strange Music Day. Rob Spiewak.
That pleases me greatly. I love strange music.
That is a real thing. It's basically a day devoted to music that doesn't fit neatly into a normal genre. Experimental, weird, unexpected, or just plain bizarre. It is the odd music day. Is there anything that comes to mind for you, since you are the musicologist, that would be the strangest piece that you like? The strangest piece of music.
Well, to say I like it is a bit of a stretch, but the fact that I appreciate that they did this. There was a song, sort of a chanting song that they did in the 1960s called They're Coming to Take Me Away.
Okay.
About a guy that was going actually to be committed
to a mental. They're coming to take me away? To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And
it was by Napoleon the 14th. But here's what I love is that when they released it on the 45 RPM record, the flip side was the same song mastered backwards. So if you turn the record over, it was like playing the song backwards. That's weird.
That is weird.
But I think it's clever for the one-hit wonder.
The weirdest song, I think, and it was the favorite song of the late George Michael, was I Put a Spell on You. By who is the artist that did Put a Spell? I Put a Spell on You.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Very, very weird song. There have been a lot of weird songs. Yes, go ahead.
It's funny that George Michael was consistent about that. He loved that song.
Played it all the time.
Yep.
That's it for the news. We got to move on. We got more stuff coming up on the show. But first, I want to tell you, we've got a big deal coming up, folks. Yes, one last show, one last cruise. Let's go out in style. It is the final episode of the Mike O'Mara Show podcast. Be part of the live audience for this historic show, January 21st until January 25th, sailing out of Tampa, Florida, with a stop in Cozumel. Meet and greet, swag bags, tropical weather.
There's got to be a morning of
laughter. If you play that again, I'm going to fly to Virginia and stab you in the eye with an ice pick.
You know, it would be worth it just to see your smiling face.
Get more info at www.tmospodcast.com. Call 800-814-7100 and use group code 4435. Tell them you are with TMOS. Really? Is that how it works?
It is.
Okay, book it today and lock in your price. We are, you know, I think people like to see a car wreck, so there is a spike in interest in the cruise now. A lot of people are booking cabins, so get yours early, get them often, and yes, it's coming.
If you do
coming.
Fly to D.C., Mike, I would be pleased to pick you up at the airport.
Yeah, and by the way, the last TMOS podcast, but I'm not going away totally. There will be something in the future, so you know, I'm not planning on just going completely to Brazil and hiding in a cave, and I don't know why I picked Brazil.
Well, because of the waxing.
The Nazis. That's for that. Well, that's why
they've
that.
Sort of had a specter over today's show, haven't they?
Right.
And someone's got to find the snakes.
That's right. I'm going to South Africa to hunt the Black Mamba.
Mike, here is, as previously mentioned, the flip side of "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
Okay.
Imagine dropping a needle on this and hearing this.
Do you have the real one?
I believe so, yeah.
Can we hear the regular? That sounds like The Exorcist.
Yeah, right that's there. That's why it's the weirdest record.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear. The original, though, is really fun.
Yeah,
I loved that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Did the artist really not have a second song for that flip side?
I believe that was the strategy. Napoleon the 14th didn't really light up the charts.
Remember this one, Rob? I buried Paul.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All of that stuff. And then they said, well, what I was saying was cranberry sauce. I said, no, you weren't. By the way,
that's on my algorithm as well. A lot of old Beatles stuff. I think that shows up on everybody's algorithm, though.
Do you think it's because we talk about it? I mean, I know oftentimes it's not anything you want to talk about.
Oh, I think 100%. When I talk about something on the show, I end up seeing it online, which is the weirdest thing in the world. You know,
yeah.
They're coming to take me away. Not I put a spell on you.
No. Oh, here we go. I found it. Here we go.
All right. Have you ever heard this, Josh?
I have heard this. Yeah.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because
I love the reverb here.
Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
Here's the hook.
And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Wow, I love that.
No more backwards, sorry about that.
Love that. All right, so God, where to go with this? All right. I have to say one more baseball note and just get it out of the way.
Okay.
But yesterday, the Red Sox took on the fabulous San Francisco Giants at Fenway Park. I watched the whole game, and one of the best things about it was the pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, Tugboat Wilkinson.
You know, I remember we used to have a guy on our show named Charlie.
Hello.
And he loved the wrestler Tugboat.
Tugboat! Woo-hoo! I went, I think with Don back in the day, I went to the old Capitol Center.
Beautiful venue.
May have been my only WWE experience. And Tugboat was, and I don't know if it was WWE, but it was my only professional.
It would have been WWF wrestling. Back then. I'm it sure would have it been was WWF. The pro, yeah.
And the only thing, and I, on the air, and also I made a joke that my favorite wrestler was Tugboat. And when you went to the Capitol, said before he even came out, backstage, you could hear, woo!
They give the fans what they want, Mike. They truly do.
Josh, could we either show a still or some video?
Oh, that only run in half. There we go.
There's Tugboat.
Oh, he seems, how shall I put this, thick-set.
He's thick-set.
Yeah.
He came to fame in the Little League World Series, where he had the exact same body. And he's been pitching. He's gone all the way. So for all the parents that watch Little League and say, you know, but this kid, you know, is good now, but he won't be in the future, I say fie, fie on you.
Fie upon you.
Fie upon you, because look at this. All the way to the majors with the San Francisco Giants. There, look at that gut.
Yeah.
Look at that gut. And now, does he throw the fastest? No. But he throws pitches that you can't see. That for some reason, like maybe his stomach's in the way. I'm not sure.
No, Mike,
how it works.
The thing that's tricky is sometimes you think he's going to pitch, but he actually eats the ball.
So that's tugboat.
Here's a fun picture where they put them side by side.
Okay, this
on
is
the left is him at the Little League World Series,
and that's him now. And they actually showed during the game both of them pitching side by side, and his motion has not changed since he was in
it's
Little
always
League.
Always worked.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And but he didn't work yesterday because the Red Sox beat him. Yeah, baby. All right. So we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about what I'm told is something very, very new and exciting. Aura farming.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether that is a thing or not, but we'll find out.
Oh, Mike, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Is it a big thing or a small thing?
Mike, it's a red hot thing right now. It's right. I've been told it's the number one thing on TikTok right now.
Will I be pleased or disappointed when I hear about this?
You will be rejuvenated, and you will regret your announcement because you'll want to stay in broadcasting 5 more years on this show, the Mike O'Mara Show, just to talk about topics like this.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get through this commercial. We'll be right back, everybody. But first, I want to ask you, have you been battling fatigue, weight gain, brain fog, low energy, poor sleep, or just not feeling like yourself? Do you feel like yourself, huh? Is that what's troubling you, Bunky? Let the battle cease. Find the solution. You don't have to guess what's going on. You can take the free wellness quiz at dermglowskin.com. Click the weight management and peptide button, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll receive personalized wellness recommendations based on your goals. Whether you're interested in medically guided weight management, peptide therapies, hormone optimization, better sleep, healthier skin, or more energy, there are personalized options designed to help you feel your best. Visit DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptides button. Take the free wellness quiz and take the first step toward feeling like yourself again. Get started right now at DermGlowSkin.com. It low-key slaps.
It does.
That's awesome.
And Mike, speaking of King George, I finally was able to run into this. Hold on.
All right. This is Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Get to hear this a lot around Halloween time.
So weird.
I put a spell on you.
By the way, Rob Tyke cued it with So Weird.
Because of mine.
And he would perform in full, like, weird, like African, almost like a Ubangi type outfit with feathers and the bone through his nose and everything. That was his gig.
Kind of stereotypical.
Yeah, right? And he would also make his entrance out of a coffin. So, I mean, he was showbiz.
And the thing I remember, if we can play just a little more of it.
Yeah.
The thing I remember about it was he had what I called a false vibrato.
Uh-huh.
Where he had vibrato, but it was more like he was shaking his head.
Yeah,
like
no
it was almost
around. I can't stand.
There it is. Yeah.
No, put me down.
You ever hear this one, Josh?
Yeah. I think this is in the movie Hocus Pocus on the Disney movie.
This is the only song I play in my Uber.
Because
loud.
What Rob says right before they get out in terror.
I do think if you get down deep in it, he's probably got a decent voice. It's just a weird presentation and a really odd choice of song.
George loved him. All right. Now, you said this aura farming. What the F is that about?
Okay. I will first give you a definition of aura farming. Aura farming, and this comes from the internet, so you know it's got to be true. An aura farmer is a slang term for someone who intentionally performs actions, poses, or styles themselves to look cool, charismatic, or impressive, ideally without appearing to try too hard.
Give that to me one more time. I got because it's a lot to. Okay. What is it?
Aura farming is when someone intentionally performs actions, poses, or styles themselves that are made to make themselves look cool, right? But they have to look like they're not trying. So it's like sort of accidental looking cool. It got started apparently with a viral gag, and I think this is pretty funny. In school, kids were dropping a piece of paper, and then people come up to them and give them the piece of paper, and then you pretend they're asking you for your autograph and you sign it because they're just returning the paper, but it makes it look like you're a big shot. But then,
so you're supposed to just start the video when they bring the paper to you.
Yeah, but okay. This is the biggest thing that hit it off. It's an Indonesian kid, and this is what really sort of sparked it.
11-year-old okay. just turned a local tradition into a global movement. Meet Ryan Arkin Dika, the Indonesian kid who went viral for dancing on the front of a speeding canoe like it was a runway. Rocking shades and traditional black gear, his moves were effortless and full of confidence. The internet called it aura farming, and now stars like Travis Kelce, Wiz Khalifa, and iShowSpeed are copying his style. What's wild? Ryan made it up all on the spot. No rehearsal, just pure vibes. Since then, he has earned a scholarship, become a tourism ambassador, and captured hearts worldwide.
Okay, that's all well and good, but I mean, it's just a guy dancing.
I never fail to be astonished as to what clicks,
yeah. Right?
What just captures the imagination? A little kid on the front of a boat.
Yeah. Would you like to see
going like this?
Some other examples of aura farming
Absolutely. This is educational for me.
This is a list from, this is actually from YouTube. These are the top aura moments, but there's a million videos that are called this, all right? There's a guy skiing.
Nice move, he makes it look easy.
That's it?
Well, yeah, because he looked so cool doing it. Guy does a double flip in the air.
Practice. I think the kid surprised himself.
I think I'm beginning to understand what it is.
So it's something cool, but it's something
that, hey, that's kind of cool. Look at this guy. Look at this guy, right? Yeah. All right.
He's in a beautiful suit and he's on wheelies.
This guy doesn't have a care in the world.
So, and then you can skateboard into the water.
You know, I've never returned my hooks from, but I'm going to do one right now. This is going to go viral.
Okay.
One shot, please, Josh, if you don't mind.
Yep.
Look at him farming aura.
Yeah, look at the effortlessness.
Boy, the AirPods have gotten bigger this season.
These are my new AirPods.
I know, they look great. You put two in one ear?
There you go. Sorry.
Stereo's better if you split them up.
It makes your ears look crooked. It makes it look like one's higher than the other.
It does, as a matter of fact.
Maybe one is.
No, we would have known this by now.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I think
my head is symmetrical. One ear is higher than the other.
I think the right one is under your actual in-ear piece.
Yes.
And if you put it on top, put that up top or a little more.
Well, now I lost my earpiece.
Yeah, I think you'd walk in circles if your ears were that off.
Yeah. And then here's the last example, Mike, of aura farming. This is perhaps not the best time to do it. And also, let's look at this.
Hard to get these back in the container. Fuck these.
Let's look at this from a different viewpoint than is presented. This is ostensibly a viral video, and the topic is a guy being arrested at high school, but that's not what it's about.
Just getting arrested at school, he had the worst idea ever to farm aura in front of the deputy sheriff, because when he just got handcuffed, bro thought it would be funny to show off his acrobatic skills, and he decided to slip his handcuffs to the front. But just watch how his aura grew so much that even the officer had no idea what to do in that situation.
They're doing some type of presentation.
That's totally staged.
They don't.
But it's not staged that he's double jointed and that he's aura farming.
Very
right
weird.
There. Yeah.
Very,
so, very Mike, weird. If you want to do like some brief tape of yourself looking cool but not trying, you too can be an aura farmer.
There we go.
Okay.
Baby Jesus.
Wow. I guess he really did have Jesus in
him. That'll go wild. All right. That's I get it. That was a great example of what it is. I get it. And I think it happens by accident quite often.
Yeah.
Where you're, yes. If you're forcing it, not ones. All the time, but the better ones are kind of by accident.
Yeah.
Do you have any beautiful video for us today?
Scads of it, Mike. I've got scads of it.
Scads of beautiful video coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I want to tell you about Vinted. Have you ever taken a good look at your closet and realized you have clothes in there that you have not worn in years? You know the ones. Oh, I'll wear that again. Guess what? You won't, dipshit. Sorry.
That's not in the copy? What is the matter with you?
I'm so sorry. No, you won't. Meanwhile, they're taking up space and potentially depriving you of money. That's another hour sitting on the freeway waiting for an Uber fare.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that as they just sit there on a hanger. That's why you need Vinted. We all need Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand marketplace app that makes it easy for regular people like you and me to sell pre-loved clothes and make some extra money. Listing an item is quick and easy. When something sells, Vinted creates that prepaid shipping label for you. Best of all, there are no seller's fees. You actually keep every dollar you earn. Just ask Mr. Josh Soroka, who uses Vinted, and you love it, right?
Oh, it's so easy. Just take a picture and done.
We call Josh the governor of Bindiana. He used Vinted for the clothes.
I didn't know how to spell that because I was going to hyphenate it, and it looked like Bin Diana. I said, well, that's not how you do it.
You know what? He's doing it because he wants to become more bin-dependent.
That's true, Mike.
With Vinted, cleaning out the closet doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like money. Plus, those clothes get a second life instead of sitting there gathering dust. And you get some extra closets room as well for something you'll actually wear. So, what's wrong with that? Not a thing, Bubba-la. All I'm thinking about now is different bin words, you know?
Well, I mean, anything it starts with N. Bindia? You can travel to Bindia.
Well, you know, we've got some storms off the coast. It's that time of year in Florida, so it gets a little bindy out there.
Yeah, it gets bincredible.
Okay, we're done. Download the Vinted app for free and start a listing today. There are no seller's fees. Oh, we got a lot more to tell you. So keep everything you earn, and for a limited time, there's free shipping in the U.S. Clean out the closet, make some extra money, and give your clothes a second life with Vinted. I'm sorry, Vinted.
Vinted, V-I-N-T-E-D.
Yeah, play your thing. We're ready for your video now.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, you missed some big news on Thursday's broadcast. Are you familiar with a restaurant, a little eatery, a beanery called Steak and Egg in Sepulpa, Oklahoma?
Not in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. And you had something with Steak and Egg last week, didn't you?
Mike, yes. It was the man with the cloven hoof for a hand.
And you know, in what's the area of Northwest Washington where American University is? I forgot the neighborhood, but there was a Steak and Egg where I've told this story on the air multiple times. We used to go at like 2-3 in the morning after partying all night in D.C., and we'd go to Steak and Egg and watch the guy that was a former Benihana chef do the whole thing. He made breakfast and threw the things up in the air and all that cool stuff.
Did he ever have a broken hand?
Yeah, because in Oklahoma, they don't do that. Mike, we made a discovery on Thursday. We thought there had been a medical miracle, but what happened is the video that he posted on Thursday, he had actually flipped the video and kept his right hand out of the shot almost entirely.
Okay.
So it looked like he was cured. But this is a step here because I think he's gotten his hand redressed.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Tonight, our special is honey glazed salmon on a bed of rice with side of fresh tabbouleh and a garlic toast, only for $18.99.
It looks like a brace that like a bowler would wear.
Look, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a simple concept. It's situational awareness.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, where you just have to be aware of what's going on. Come on.
Then they tried that with the last video with keeping it out of the frame.
Yeah, but they blew it still. You would have picked up faster than we did, Mike, because his watch was on his wrong arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we knew the video
had gross. It's something about a bandage and food service that makes me want to barf.
That one looks a lot better. That looks more like what you would wear for like weak wrists or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And believe me.
I was trying to make something that a waiter might need it for.
I just know my wrist is so tired after months of rehearsal. Mike, we lost over the weekend Shelley Fabre, who got her big break on The Donna Reed Show and for many years was the love interest on Coach.
Not but that old, right?
82, I believe.
She was 82. Okay. Yeah. She was up there.
Yeah, dead at 82. But here's what she's most remembered for.
Kind of the girl next, the classic girl next door.
Yeah. And back in the day when anyone who was on a sitcom could grab a hit record, there's Donna Reed.
Oh, Donna Reed.
Yeah. You know what? Now that we're in retrospect, Mike, Donna Reed or Shelley Fabre?
Oh, Donna Reed.
Okay. Yeah, old Donna Reed?
What do you mean old Donna Reed?
Like if she did like a guest spot on, say, like Fantasy Island, as opposed to like the Donna Reed on It's a Wonderful Life. What is the matter with me?
I don't know. You're wrong. You're just wrong today. That's wrong.
Mike, remember when you were bowling and you loved it? You loved it. You know loved it?
Not a lot because I'm just not good at it.
Mike, you loved it probably because of the technology that was invented by AMF. Yeah. AMF, Mike, they invented Magic Score, and they wanted to get the word out about Magic Score. So who do you get? You get Yogi.
You know, it's a lot easier to add up three strikes in baseball than it is in bowling.
Good looking guy.
That's what's so great about AMF's new Magic Score. Magic Score does all the arithmetic. You just punch in your name at the beginning and bowl. The screen even tells you when it's your turn and which lane to bowl on. Magic Score. It makes bowling more fun for everybody. Little kids could bowl by themselves, even if they can't hit. For my money, Magic Score is the best thing that ever happened to bowling since the automatic pin spotter.
Here he goes. Attaboy.
Hey! Knocked
it down. Does he have a, hold on.
Yes, he does.
A pit stain?
Yep, because it was a long day shooting, I'm sure. There's first of all, not a natural fiber in that outfit he's wearing. I mean, I don't even think that's a leather belt. That thing came out of a test tube. Wow. But Yogi, you know, great pitchman, he also known for Yoo-Hoo. Mm-hmm. He pitched all the great products, Bowling Supply and Yoo-Hoo. And Mike, I know when you leave this show, you're going to miss a lot of things.
I am.
But one thing you're not going to miss are onboarding meetings with clients.
Not all that painful, really. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's not a walk in the park.
Yeah. This is a pretty good example of how I react sometimes during a meeting.
Nobody has any questions. We'll end a little early today, okay?
Yeah, I've got a couple questions.
Oh, come the f*** on, Todd.
Okay, and somebody's unmuted. Steve?
You know it's happened.
Oh, all the time.
One more time with that.
Okay, stop the music. Stop Florian. All right. Mike, remember the villain here is a guy named Todd. Here we go.
So if nobody has any questions, we'll end a little early today, okay?
Yeah, I've got a couple questions.
Oh, come the f*** on, Todd.
Okay, and somebody's unmuted. Steve?
It's pretty great. Yeah, of course.
I love our new closing music with Florian. It's old school, ladies and gentlemen.
Florian Hutter.
Florian Hutter on the keyboards for you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I commandeer this stolen money by order of the Peaky Blinders.
He was an overweight alcoholic who just happened to be one of the greatest pure passers in NFL history.